Welcome to this episode of The Hollywood Outsider, and yes, this is going to be a special one, as we are only going to talk about the biggest movie of the entire year, Star Wars: The Last Jedi. What we liked, what we didn't like, what we want to criticize in the latest Star Wars movie, as it is the biggest movie of the year, both in the US and the globe. So if you're not a Star Wars fan, I don't know if you're going to get a lot out of this, but we are going to be very honest with some legitimate criticism about the movie and what we look forward to in the next movie. So it's a pretty open-ended discussion, and I think it's a very fair conversation, but we don't want you to just take our word for it. So sprinkled throughout this episode, you are also going to hear some of our listener feedback. We have a few voicemails and a few quick written reviews that we're going to read during the show to give you an indication as to what fans think as well as us. So whenever you hear this sound, you're about to hear another listener review. I think that's going to be a fun little additive to this spoiler cast, reactions and review, however you want to call it. So without further ado, let's get into it. Spoilers will be here. They'll be prominent. So please be aware of that. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
And John Davenport.
Hello.
Okay, now we're going to talk about Star Wars: The Last Jedi. That's right. The Last Jedi, even though it's not actually The Last Jedi, but it's The Last Jedi, something like that. We can't actually play the Star Wars theme because that would be a violation of copyright. But I think we can hum it horribly. Dun 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 dun. Yeah,
that didn't nothing work out. But Star Wars. Star Wars all day.
Well, yay. All right, well, here we go. We're going to get into full spoilers. So if you have not seen Star Wars The Last Jedi, I would recommend you stop now. We are going to spoil the crap out of this movie. So be prepared. Warning's over. Now, the story picks up where we left off, really. Rey is trying to get a reluctant Luke to train her and also to join the rebellion. Leia is trying to get Poe to settle down and save their fleet from a First Order attack. Kylo Ren is mind-melding with Rey in an effort to bring her to Snoke. And Finn is off doing something that I'm not even sure makes any difference. So, overall thoughts.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
It does. And we're going to get to that stuff. I mean, there's stuff we love. There's stuff we didn't love. But first off, overall thoughts. What did you think of the film? Scott, what are your initial thoughts, overall, broad strokes of the movie?
Broad strokes. I had a lot of issues, but the epic moments more than made up for it. I mean, I'm talking some just incredible stand-up and cheer moments, visually stunning scenes. Like I said, I had some issues, but it's far from a bad movie. It's very, very enjoyable. I just had some minor issues.
All right. Johnny?
I came out of the movie the first time I watched it feeling like I had watched something that was directed by somebody who was completely overwhelmed with what he had to work with. I felt like I watched something that there was a checklist of things that needed to be checked off for marketing reasons and to be able to sell something. And I felt like I just watched something that told me that Santa Claus wasn't real, the Easter Bunny is fake, and Trump won the presidency all over again. That was my first impressions. But once I got over all that and saw it a second time, the movie was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable. I didn't have as many problems with it the second time because I knew where everything was going and I was able to put my finger on the kind of things that bothered me the first time around, which weren't as bad once I got over, once I knew where everything was going at the end, if that makes any sense.
I mean, in pure John Davenport fashion, not really, but it works.
Not really? Yeah. All right.
Personally, I was there sitting watching the first hour, wishing I wasn't watching it. That first hour I thought was very poorly paced. I didn't like some of the character movements, chess plays, if you will, you know, how they were being set up. But the last hour and a half I thought was fantastic. So it really made up for it. I really had a strong issue with a subplot that does not need to be in there, but I'll talk about that shortly. But outside of that, it's still a really enjoyable movie. I liked it more than Rogue One, not as much as The Force Awakens. And I really don't care if you want to tell me, it's just New Hope. It was still fun. Don't care. It was a lot of fun.
And Thank you.
Yeah, and the characters were endearing. Rogue One had the same pacing thing. Like, the first hour of Rogue One sucked. And then it got to be, like, just amazing. So I don't know what the issue with the first hour of these movies last 2 years have been, but they need to get that under control. Let's move on to the actual story. Let's get into Star Wars. But we're going to talk about it in like character to character, kind of to get it, make it a little easier to know what we're talking about. First, Rey's arc. How did you feel about Rey's arc? Because basically in the movie, she spends a lot of time on Dagobah. I'm sorry, on the island of Dagobah, where
that's better.
Where she's training or trying to get Luke to both join the rebellion and Leia, and also to teach her some things. And she's also mind melding with Kylo Ren. How did you feel about her arc in this movie?
I think in this movie, the part of the reason why I was having so much trouble with the story was the mind meld thing. The mind meld isn't actually anything new to the Star Wars universe if you read the books or anything else like that. It's something that's heavily used between two characters in the books. But I was afraid the whole time I was watching this, I was afraid that this whole mind meld thing was going to lead to some stupid romantic thing between Kylo and Rey.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Usually you see something like that in a story and it almost always leads to a kiss or something else like that. And I did not want to see that. I really hated the idea of it going that direction. When I watched the movie a second time, that's when I realized that's why I hated the movie so much. It's because I was afraid the first time around that was going to happen. I was really happy that she grew as a Jedi. She grew as a character. But at the same time, she's just the same person. She's just this ray of shining hope and light, and she takes that throughout the whole movie. So I really appreciated that. But yeah, that mind meld thing was what really set me on edge the entire time and really made me worry the whole movie.
I feel like Star Trek fans are just screaming at the radio right now that we're calling that a mind meld, by the way.
Right. It was a mind meld, though. What else would you call it?
In the books.
You know what? I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want to hear that throughout this episode. The books are not canon. So
no, I agree. The books are not canon. I totally agree. It's still a device used in the books, though.
Okay. Well, is it the same? Is it done the same way?
It is done the same way, and it's done primarily between two characters who share a family.
Wait, what? So yeah, maybe he lied to her, is what you're telling me? Maybe she didn't come from garbage people?
Maybe.
He's just trying to get her to join the dark side?
Maybe Snoke just put that all in there to, you know, to give some sort of background, because Snoke did say that he was the one pulling the strings on that whole mind meld.
Do you guys feel like her character did anything, any growth in this movie?
Well, that's kind of one of the frustrations about the character in general, because after seeing the movie, I've been doing a lot of reading of people's comments and reading some blogs and stuff. And a buddy of mine, his name is Joseph Che, wrote a really great essay on a website called Medium.com called The Character Assassination of Luke Skywalker. And it's a fascinating read. I highly recommend it. And he talks about the difference between like Rey almost not deserving her status because she hasn't gone through the trials and tribulations that Luke has. Like Luke lost his aunt and uncle in A New Hope. He had to make these hard decisions in Empire Strikes Back where he had to choose between sacrificing his friends or, you know, his own feelings and all this. And he had to go through all this intense training on Dagobah and then whatever training we didn't see between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And then you've got Rey, who has not done any of that. She's just been, she has the Force awakened in her. The worst thing that she's had happen to her was Kylo Ren invading her mind and then the torture sequence with Snoke. That's really the only real bad things that's happened to her. She's not had to make any hard decisions or whatever. And then she comes to meet Luke, and Luke just basically is given up. Mm-hmm. And from a Star Wars fan, that's very frustrating because Luke was always the shining light for the Jedi in the original trilogy. I'm just speaking in broad strokes. I'm not going to go deep into Luke, but I feel like so many of the decisions in this film were done to be surprises instead of focusing on giving fans what they wanted. Which is funny because that's what a lot of people complain about with Force Awakens. It was just basically a retelling of A New Hope, and it got that, it gave you that spirit of Star Wars when you watch it. This one, and it left you with so many questions at the end of Force Awakens that we couldn't wait to get answered. Rey's lineage and that first, what's the first thing Luke's going to do? And everything was just like, well, let's do something that people don't expect instead of giving something satisfying. Does that make sense? Rey's is her. I'm struggling with what she is. And I feel like that's like the big question now. We didn't get any inkling of that at all, other than what Kylo told her. And we don't know if that's a lie or not. So
yeah,
what do you guys think about that?
No, I really struggle with that. I really felt like of all the characters, there's a lot of characters that had a lot of growth, and we'll talk about them. But I don't think Rey is one of them. And she's the lead character. She's prominent in the story, and she did get a little bit of Jedi training, I suppose. But I just felt like they wanted to be Empire really bad in this movie. It really felt like that. We got to go dark. We got to push it. We got to change some things up. We got to shake some things, which I liked. Don't get me wrong. I love the story beats in this movie. I just, I don't know if I like how they handle them. But in terms of Rey, I just felt like, well, how are we going to do Dagobah different? How are we going to do the training like Yoda did different? Well, we'll make him even more reluctant than Yoda. She's spending most of the movie just trying to get him to help her. And we got to keep her connected to Kylo. So we're doing that. And then we're going to have him come to Snoke and she's going to see if she can win him over and all that stuff. And it just felt like her arc was very almost pointless. I don't feel like she had an actual arc, I suppose.
And how did she get skilled with a lightsaber? That was the argument from the first one.
Well, the light, going from the pole arm that she uses to a lightsaber may not be too much of a leap as far as what somebody's abilities can be.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because she uses the pole the whole time, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if the next time we see her, she's converted that pole into some sort of either pole arm lightsaber or a double bladed lightsaber.
Right.
So it's not too far. It's not too hard to believe, because even when she has the blaster, she has the lightsaber, she's still carrying around the thumbstick. So, and she's still trying to use the thumbstick most. So it's not, I would buy into her being proficient in that naturally. And she has just I saw hints of her character just has a natural gift for anything Jedi related. They kind of hint to that, where she kind of just picks things up super quick. She jumped into that darkness without an issue, and it didn't frighten her, it didn't scare her. And I think part of the storytelling they're doing there is that the Force is just the Force. It's not a darkness, it's not a light, it's all dependent on the user themselves. And that's something that's really important that they tried to come over. This story was all out with the old, in with the new, but also, by the way, the Force is just the Force. It's not a dark or light thing.
Yeah, but that's also frustrating to just fall back on that answer, because it's a religious answer. Oh, it's just the Force. That's just how the Force works. And I understand that's the theme behind this movie, but, how powerful Luke was. He's the son of Darth Vader, intense midichlorians or whatever. And so are we to assume that Rey is so in tune with the Force, even more so than Luke and Anakin were, that she has the ability to not be tempted because she's so angelically good and has no flaws? Or, what is the reason? Like Luke is scared of her power because of what happened with Kylo. Mm-hmm. Why is she just okay to go through this and dip her toes into the dark side, but not actually be tempted by it?
She's a better person. I think they make that argument that she's a better person. She's more pure of heart. And Kylo had an anger to him, a dark side. And, I honestly think they're trying to illustrate in the movie anyway, that Luke actually helped propel. And we'll talk more about Luke and his arc in a minute. But I think they're trying to illustrate that he propelled him deeper in the darkness. Like she said, you had a chance to save him. You didn't do it. Elected the darker way. You were afraid of his power when you should have nurtured it, kind of thing.
Well, that brings up the question, though. Was Kylo inherently evil? And I know we're not talking on Kylo's arc right now, but it's relevant to Rey's story. Was Kylo inherently evil, or was he turned at that moment that you're alluding to now? Because Rey hasn't had a moment like that. She's not had anything like that happen to her outside of being abandoned by her parents that we're led to believe.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. We watched Rey go through that moment. When Rey was in Snoke's throne room, we watched her go through the moment where she had to make the choice. And the thing about Rey, and the thing they illustrate very well about it, Rey, is that she is ferociously good. She is fiercely good. There's an anger to how good she is, and that's okay. They make it very clear. So I disagree with the idea that she's angelically good or anything else like that. She is a beast when it comes to being good, and she is not to be trifled with for how good she is. And that's why she survives those dark moments of where she can be tempted by darkness, because when she sees darkness, she attacks it. She wants to chew it up. She wants to spit it out. She wants to show it who's boss, because she is good. And that's just the way it's going to be.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess I'll probably retract my earlier statement. She does have an arc. I don't think it's as layered as I would have liked. So maybe it's right. A me thing. I will be honest. Some of this is expectation. I probably wanted more answers for Rey. I definitely wanted the lineage answered, and I don't.
Well, everybody did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get that, you know, this is a 3-episode, and we didn't get that all handled in the first trilogy that way, or the original trilogy that way. So maybe I just need to be more patient as a viewer. It's not something that detracted from my enjoyment of the film. It's just something that I felt like when it was over, I felt a little frustrated because I really
felt a little let down.
Yeah. And some people are saying, well, they told you, Kylo told you her lineage. You know, he said, think about it. You've always known you're just nobody. But I do believe, to me, I'm assuming he's just playing on her emotions at that moment because he wants her to go dark. And if he tells her her true lineage, and there's something Skywalker-ish in there, then I think that would keep her, that would detract from her going dark as opposed to staying on the light side, which ultimately it didn't matter because she's ultimately a good person and good always wins, except unless you're a cynical Luke Skywalker. This listener feedback is from Nate Bruce.
Hey, Hose. It's Nate in Tallahassee. I thought Star Wars was probably a 7.5 out of 10. A little long for me. Las Vegas was unneeded, and it's like Benicio del Toro just looking for a paycheck. I don't know what they're going to do in the last one. I don't get go ahead and doing the rivalry between Rey and Ren so soon. Instead, they're going to save that, but we'll see. Good job, guys. And Scott, don't forget to watch Die Hard this Christmas.
Right. Well,
can we talk about that scene, or do you want to wait until we talk about Kylo's arc?
We can just segue into Kylo if you want. Go ahead.
Okay, because I wanted to see what you guys thought about that scene where, first off, the incredibly badass fight scene when Snoke gets taken out. When I saw that buildup happening, first off, it was just an incredible scene. But I'm talking about afterwards when he basically asked her to join him. Am I the only one that kind of wanted to see that happen? I kind of wanted to see them. I love the whole mentality of let go of the past, let go of everything. And he was talking to himself as well. Mm-hmm. Let go of the Empire, let go of the Jedi, and let's just go off and do our own thing and do this our way. That sounds fascinating to me. That's something that we've seen it done in Empire. Let's join it through the galaxy as father and son. But that was as the dark side. To me, that would have brought balance. Isn't that if you've got Kylo?
I was really excited for that. I wanted that to happen so bad. I wanted her to go dark.
Well, I don't even know if that would even be dark. I think it would be the two of them doing both the light and the dark side of the Force to work together to bring balance and lead that way. You know what I'm saying? So she wouldn't have to go dark. I don't even think he was asking her to come to the dark side. I think he was saying, I'm willing to let go of my stuff if you let go of your stuff and let's come together and make this whole new divergent thing.
Wait a minute. What you're forgetting though is that it was predicated on the idea of first let's let these people murder these other people who are Rey's friends and family, or what she considers her family. So you're forgetting the idea that first she's like, okay, let's get everyone to stop killing people and let's get this under control, and he's like, no, let them all die. Let my mom die. Let all these people die. We're going to just wipe the slate clean. So that's where Rey is kind of like, yeah, I'm not digging where this is going, because that's still an inherently dark move to make, you know? Sure. And so that's why I'm fine with them not teaming up. That was the moment where I'm like, please don't kiss, please don't kiss, please don't kiss, please don't kiss. And I didn't
get that vibe at all.
Well, because of the whole mind meld, and she's kind of like crying when she's thinking about every moment when it has to deal with Rey, with Kylo and or Ben or whatever name she decided to use. Steve. His name's Steve now. You know, whatever moment she wanted to go when she was in touch with him, she really got emotional about him, about and trying to save him. Yeah, I think you're forgetting the idea that he was still willing to build it off of the bones of everybody else.
I just wanted her to. Because, you know, I the advertising kind of painted it you know, maybe there's a chance. I would have liked to have seen that, or maybe even fake that she was going to the dark side, pretending that she was going to join them or something along those lines. So we had a major shift because, you know, a lot of people I've seen on the internet are saying, oh, there's so many surprises and I'm like, not really. I mean, Luke Skywalker is a big surprise, which that's going to be the last character we really get into. But outside of him, I really don't think there were many surprises. There were a lot of things where they were just going against the Empire grain, but I don't really know if that would be considered a big surprise, more almost predictable that they would go against what Empire did.
Right.
How did you guys ultimately feel about Kylo's arc as a character on his own?
I actually kind of dug his character on his own. I dug the arc that he took. Adam Driver did such a good job of making him seem like a caged animal. The entire time he's on the screen, he could either just smash his helmet against the wall, and it just everything just made sense. Like the intensity that he brought to every single scene was awesome, and I thought that the fact that as the movie went on, that insanity kind of blew up more and more. I thought it was great. He was probably one of my favorite characters in this piece because of that.
I'm with you though, and that I really found myself enjoying Kylo a lot more just because I don't know where to place him in terms of his intentions. Part of me thinks that he's turning. There's moments where you see the goodness in him, kind of like an Anakin type deal, but then he just does things that are so despicable. I actually kind of love that I'm conflicted as to what's going to happen to him. I feel like now that movie has ended the way it has, that he is the supreme villain at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little bummed out that we're not going to see the mask anymore. I think that was symbolic of him letting go of being. Is he even Sith? Was he Sith? He's with a dark side, but was he considered a Sith?
In theory, I guess we don't need to get into the whole mechanics between Sith or whatever it is this Kylo right. Ren thing is.
Well, no, I think he is because that is the way of the Sith when you take down your master, right? So he has, I would say he's Sith.
I think him letting go of that side of him is almost like him making his own third branching thing of the Force. You know, like instead of it being the dark side or the light side, he's the Green Party. You know what I mean? Like he's the Green Party.
Yeah,
he's a libertarian.
I'm not going to hate to disagree with you. I'm going to enjoy disagreeing with you. No, he is dark. There is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He is as dark as it gets. He's not Green Party. He is a Sith. He's dark side. He's wearing that red badge of courage on his chest and being like, "This is who I am."
Mm-hmm. So what's the point of what's the purpose, or is it even symbolic of getting rid of the mask? Is that him letting go of his grandfather? Is that him just being frustrated because Snoke is treating him like a child?
I'll be honest. My personal opinion with the mask thing is that I think people hated it in the first movie, and there was such a revolt around how bad that voice was and everything else. And also, it's a combination. I think it's partly fan appreciation. It's saying, hey, we heard you. We're getting rid of it. We're ditching that stupid mask. And also, I think he's coming to his own. He's no longer trying to be his grandfather. He's just becoming himself, a true psychotic Sith. Like he's truly the villain of our piece. He's going to be by the end of this movie. You guys thought Snoke was the bad guy. You thought Snoke was another Emperor situation where really, ultimately, it's Kylo Ren. He's the villain.
And I did like that twist. I really did, because I really felt like we were going to see Snoke all the way through the third one, through episode 9.
Once again, and that's why I think this movie is very much we're going against the expectations you had that we were following the same traction as Empire.
Right. I agree 100%. They tried to do it too much, I think. That was one where they went against the grain or went against the norm that I appreciated, because it felt unexpected in a way that didn't feel like a typical Star Wars movie, but there were other ones that were just very frustrating.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Kylo Ren, Aaron? We've kind of been going on to the two of us.
Yeah, it's he's a hard character. I really didn't like him in the Force Awakens. I didn't love him. Well, he's fine, but I always found him to be like a whiny bitch. He's a whiny man, baby. And he was just constantly crying about his past and everything. Here, I felt he's still that. I mean, he still has I'm very whiny. I'm a petulant child, spoiled, and I'm very, very mad. But he also, I think Adam Driver delivered him with enough rage to make it play where it actually fueled the character. Instead of coming across as very one note, I think it fueled the character in this movie. So to me, Kylo Ren works way better here than he did in the past movie. And I really did love the murder of his master moment, because I did not see that coming. I did not see Snoke going out. I don't think anybody did. And him killing him, the way that he killed him, I thought was just brilliant. And then the ensuing and the ensuing lightsaber fight was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of felt like, well, he's a whiny man, baby, da 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 da. And then you get to the end where you see him with Luke, and he does a great job of conveying the absolute rage, the blinding rage he has.
Mm-hmm.
Going after Luke Skywalker, like all he cares about is killing this guy, because he was the last chance I had to be what all my heroes were, my real heroes, my dad and Luke. He was the last chance, and he tried to kill me. And you kind of see from his perspective, you know, I get where he's coming from in a way. You know,
yeah. Even Luke says that.
I mean, yeah, I would see why he would feel that way to a degree, why he would, that would push him to the darkness. So I feel like they gave his character enough depth to really help him evolve. He's still not my favorite character in the movies, but he's definitely a weak link in the first one, in The Force Awakens. He's not a weak link here to me.
No. Fire everything on that man.
Just a rage monster. And he does it really well. He plays it very, very well.
Yeah. This one comes in from Tamala Plain. I know I'm in the minority. I wasn't in love with it. I was just okay. I'd rather rewatch Force Awakens. I saw it 3 times in the theater and Rogue One. I doubt I'll watch this one again.
From our Facebook group, Ruben McDade, who says about the Star Wars film, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie and thought that the main plotline involving Rey, Kylo, Luke, etc. was really interesting. My main gripe is that this subplot in which Finn takes part. For me, it's more of a distraction than a subplot and took some of the magic away, but I suppose it was necessary? Maybe not, but apart from that, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
We talked about Snoke a little bit. What do you guys feel now that he's essentially gone? I mean, I assume he's not going to be a part of the future movies.
Boy, this is one of the frustrating moments for me, because we don't know a thing about Snoke. We don't know why he is in the position that he is. We don't know, like, that was like a big mystery surrounding the first one, was people thought he might have been somebody, he might have been an old character or something. I feel kind of robbed of that history a little bit.
Why?
There's always two, an apprentice and a master. He's the master. We're just supposed to accept that that's okay. He's just the master. And like, I don't know. Why is he in control? Why is he, his face all jacked up? Why is one side of his face look like he got eaten by something? I don't know. I wanted to know more of that.
To that argument, what did you know about the Emperor?
Well, we got that in episode 2 and 3.
Yeah, but you didn't get those until 30 years later. So you've got the original trilogy. When it was over, heralded as one of the greatest trilogies of all time. We knew just as much about the Emperor, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
I felt like his death was a highly anticlimactic portion of, because if you're going to use the Emperor as your footprint for what did we know about the main villain or the Emperor, I don't feel like the Emperor would have fallen for the same trick that Snoke did, where he just wasn't paying attention to what Kylo was doing behind his back.
Like, wasn't like, why is that lightsaber moving to my right? That's weird.
Right. That's weird. Like, that's kind of weird. I had visual problems with Snoke too, because in a world where Bill Nighy exists, we're going to CGI create a character that looks a lot like Bill Nighy, but have Andy Serkis play him.
That's a weird way to look at it, but okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong, though.
I would not agree with you. I think Serkis delivers his own performance here. And I just don't get why not just have Andy Serkis play the character.
Right. Why not? Either A, why not have Andy Serkis play the character so you don't have to CG an entire face onto somebody, which they had to do. And in post-Justice League, for people to be okay with the way Snoke looks, I am a little irritated at that, too.
That's fair.
Just saying. And mind you, I say that as a tattoo-having, card-carrying, Star Wars book-reading, absolute fan of the series. For all the CG issues that even Snoke himself had, why am I not hearing the internet blow up about it? I'm a little annoyed, especially after Justice League.
Because Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars fans are very, very forgiving. And I will never understand why this is always a series that you just can never love enough. I like the movie. Well, you should have loved it. Okay. So I guess I'm not a fan. You're obviously not a fan. Oh, why?
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is like 5 stars. But it wasn't. Yes, it was.
It wasn't.
Otherwise, you aren't a Star Wars fan. Okay. Right. That's how it is every year with these movies.
Right. I loved how Snoke kind of treated everyone around him. He just kind of pushed them around and just he was a big bully using the Force at every single moment. I loved how he slams Hooks down and spins him around for no good reason just because he can. And he's however millions of light years away doing it. He's a super powerful guy, but yet his apprentice does something behind his back and cuts him in half. Stupid.
Well, I think what they were going for is he was seeing Kylo's lightsaber being turned, but not seeing the other because he can't multitask, basically, is what this boils down to, right?
Obviously.
Right, basically. Right. I don't think the Emperor would have fallen for this at all. It took...
Hey, whoa. Once again, we just completely forget the original trilogy. He didn't see Darth Vader sneaking up behind him and throwing him down the drain. So, yeah, I would say this worked. He was focused on the thing he was focused on. He wasn't focused on the thing that could kill him. That's what happened.
Yeah, but he effectively killed Darth Vader when Darth Vader was killing him.
Well, I would say Kylo was smarter about how he kills his boss.
Yeah, it's either that or his boss is just a moron.
It's possible. I really wanted him to kill Hux or whatever his name was, because I thought Domhnall Gleeson really amped up the B-movie quality acting in this movie. I thought he was.
Oh, yeah. I kind of adored Hux.
Man, he was awful. Shut up.
He was like Mr. Bill, man. Anytime. Oh no!
But he was so good in the first movie. What the hell happened?
He was the same character this movie.
No, he was not.
Yes, he was.
No, I'm telling you, he was not. He was a total cheeseball in this movie.
Nah, he was totally the same character this movie, especially like when you in Force Awakens, when he's standing in front of the whole crowd of stormtroopers and he's just screaming his mad head off.
That was awesome.
Well, he's doing the exact same thing in these movies, just doing the exact same kind of movements, the exact same kind of overtures. And even then, he's got enough balls to sit there and be like, you think you got him after the whole fire everything at him?
I like that moment with him.
Yeah, I like that.
But that was because he was more like beaten down. He was put in his place. Leading up to that, he was so arrogant and full of himself and just not. I mean, he's a villain, so and I'm not going to say likable, but there are certain villains that are so despicable that you just kind of get that uneasy feeling and you just want to hate him. I hated him more because I just was annoyed by him in this one. I wasn't annoyed by him in Force Awakens. I was annoyed by him here.
Nah, I enjoyed him just because I also like the fact that he got thrown around like a rag doll.
I groaned every time he came back on the screen after his first scene. I'm like, oh, this again? He never felt like the character he was. He always felt like a boob. He was like Thor. Man, he just felt like a boob through the whole movie. I mean, this is a guy you have in charge of your entire fleet, and he's a boob. Why are boobs running your fleet, man? You're supposed to be the new Empire. Dum-dum.
Well, Snoke explains that, too.
Does he?
He says something about you can always have this kind of person in control because you can. They may be cowardly and predictable, but you can always use their insecurities to point them in a direction and get good results.
Yeah, I mean, you could find somebody who is somewhat less booby to do those things.
Speaking of boobs, when are we gonna talk about Luke's arc and milking the cow?
You know what?
At the end.
At the very end, that's the last.
He said it several times at the end.
But nice try to segue. That was pretty clever. Before we get to Finn, Leia, and Luke, I gotta stop for a minute and talk about porgs. Because Scott has a real issue with the porgs, which are the basic, you know, the alien penguins.
So, I'm not the only one.
Nope, Scott's not the only one. I have different sorts of issues, but he's not the only one.
As Scott wrote our written review, we're going to give him the floor. Why don't you like the porgs? They're adorable, and you know those toys are going to sell. I want three right now.
I don't have a problem with the porgs being in this universe. They were cute, but Let's see him one or two times. I saw this movie a second time, and I literally counted 11 different shots of the Porgs. And they have absolutely nothing to do with the story other than to sell merchandise. That's all. That's the only reason they're there.
That doesn't and sound like a, is, like 11 doesn't sound like a lot to me.
11 doesn't sound like a lot?
A 2.5 hour movie and just 11 shots. It's all we have. That doesn't sound like a lot to me.
It felt like a lot. Every time they're on screen, it felt like, oh, hey, by the way, guys, Disney owns Star Wars now. just so you know, this is a Disney movie now. That's what it felt like every single time.
Ewoks happened.
Thank you. They are the new Ewoks. I don't see what's so different about the
Except
Ewoks.
Except Ewoks actually played a part in the story in thwarting the Empire Return of the Jedi. I understand not loving the Ewoks.
Countered.
But they...
True.
They helped. They were integral to stopping the Empire. The Porgs in this had literally nothing to do other than comic relief and to have something cute and cuddly to sell toys. And I don't understand how...
And mission accomplished, because I want some Porgs.
I said this in my review, it's completely pandering. It really is. They're just hook, line, and sinker by putting something cute in there that people want, and people are okay with it. It's like sheep.
Well, I mean, it's Star Wars. I don't want to be rude, but most Star Wars diehards are sheep. Because if you don't like it enough, you're not really a fan. That's, you know, it comes out, and it says Star Wars on it. It's amazing. Well... I mean, it's okay to talk about the movie and no, you cannot critique anything about Star Wars. Otherwise, you hated it, obviously. Okay. Okay. I'm not with you guys. I thought the Porgs were cute.
What are your issues, John?
All right. So my issues with the Porgs are let me get all the good things out of the way. Yes, they're great comic relief. Yes, they're adorable. I kind of enjoyed seeing them. My biggest issues with the Porgs is that design-wise, they do not serve the purpose that they were designed for. Because in the movie, you see them flying, you see them moving around as if they're birds or anything else like that. They look like flightless birds. And flightless birds swim, and that's great. They don't fly. Not a single one of the flightless birds fly. The design aspects they used for this were just stupid. And it looks silly when you see them soaring around in these tiny little wings that do jack and shit. And they have no... tail feathers or tail, or they have no sort of like ridge system in their head to help them guide them along when they're flying. So there's a whole lot of things that mechanic wise they did not think about when it came to how are we going to use these creatures in the movie. They just said, just make us something cute. Okay, we made you something cute. What are you going to do with it? Well, we're going to make them fly and do all this. You're going to do what now? They did not think this through, and I'm upset about how little thinking went into the actual creation of a creature, because that's a skill they teach. That's something you go to school and they teach you to think about the mechanics of how things work and how they're going to be implemented, and they just ignored it just to make something cute and sell it.
I stand corrected. I really do. Kylo Ren is not the only whiny-ass bitch that has to do with this movie, because you two... and your sour distaste of the Porgs is so, I mean, nitpicking. It's well, Star Wars. Star Wars has always had these creatures. It's always had this comic relief. It's always had something cute to look at or something, some weird species to do. Now, maybe there's a little too much of it. I guess maybe it could be argued, but I laughed every time they were there. I mean, I thought the Chewie scene I thought was hysterical. I don't care what anybody says.
You mean the scene where Chewie has to go hungry?
Yeah. Yeah, Chewie suddenly has developed. He was able to kill one of them with his own bare hands. But as soon as they're all looking at him when he's trying to eat it, he suddenly is like, "Oh, this feels wrong." No, they're designed to be eaten. That's it. Because they're little freaking turkeys, little freaking stupid chicken things. That's all they're.
And it wouldn't bother me as much if that's like the first thing everybody talks about when they talk about this movie. What do you think of Star Wars? Oh, the Porgs are great.
What is wrong with that?
Because it has nothing to do with Star Wars. It has nothing to do with the story. Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Well, I'm not in the camp of Scott, because Scott's issues are completely different from my issues. I'm only talking design-wise and aesthetics. I thought they were cute and fun. I don't want a Porg, but I can see why somebody would want one.
I'm with you there. I do think they're cute. I don't like hate the Porgs. I hate that that's like become a central thing about this movie, that's like the best thing about this movie. There's so much going on in here that is more interesting to talk about than a damn guinea pigeon. It drives me crazy that that's like the people's best thing about this movie is something that had literally nothing to do with the story.
It's definitely not my best thing in the movie. No.
It's not yours, but it is a lot of people's. And now I'm sure that we're going to have 19 posts and memes now about how Scott's wrong about porgs. Whatever.
It's going to be Die Hard Porg.
Porg edition. I wonder if is Last Jedi a Christmas movie? That's really what the important question is. That's a good point. You know what? Let's move on to Finn. This is where I get frustrated. Now, I genuinely enjoyed them. Like I said, the first hour I think is just so clunky. Outside of the immediate opening, the first 10 minutes or whatever, outside of that, clunky. Just needed to, you could cut 20 minutes off this movie easy. The first 20 minutes I would cut would be Finn's entire arc on Planet Vegas, because I don't see the point of going to Planet Vegas. That's what it is. And going, and maybe they wanted to show that, hey, not every hero's journey ends in success. You know, sometimes we actually have failure. Maybe that's what this movie's trying to illustrate. Well, then you did a great job, because it's pointless. I spend 20 minutes at this stupid place, and then, you know, they go to the ship and it does absolutely nothing. It doesn't, I mean, it's one thing that it's the longest chase in film history.
Aaron, it wasn't pointless.
Oh, please. What was the point, Scott?
The point was they got to save that little horse creature.
You mean the one they used again later as the fox creature?
They were used. I see what you did there. Anyway, back away from your obvious creature hate. When they're having the longest, most drawn out chase in history, which I'll still never understand why they couldn't blow that ship to smithereens. I guess it was outrunning it. Whatever. I would assume the ship had better blasters than that, but okay. You know, just take that into account. Whatever. Finn's got time to get off the ship, run over to Planet Vegas, do this mission, find Benicio del Toro, whose character ultimately doesn't do anything beneficial. He seems like he's a martyr and he's a good guy. Hey, give me that thing or I'm not going to do this thing. This means something to you, Rose. Here, you know what? Have this thing back. But I'm still going to sell you out and make sure you guys both die. What? That made no sense. So none of that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. All it does is give Finn something to do. I'm going on a little tangent here.
Here's a better question. Why couldn't they just find a good parking spot?
Right?
Like if they had just parked where they were supposed to and gone to find this guy like normal people, none of that would have happened.
Right?
True.
The only reason they got chased is because they illegally parked on the beach or something like that. Like,
well, and I've had conversations with many, many Star Wars fans, and everybody says the same thing. Well, if you don't have that scene, even though it doesn't affect the overall plot, if you don't have that scene, then you can't understand the kid at the end who has the Force powers and picks up the broom, and you have that last beautiful shot of
showing way better ways you can make that happen.
It worked without it. I did. That could have been any random kid, and that scene works for me.
Yeah, you could have just thrown that scene in at the end of the movie without introducing us to him, and exactly. it would have been just good.
100%. Rey's arc set that scene up. So I guess Rey did have arc. Once again, I'm proving wrong while I'm proving right on this one, because Finn's plot did not matter at all. That scene would have been beautiful without that context. I didn't need any of it. The whole point was anyone can rise up. Anyone can contribute. And now the spark is lit, and now, you know, the fire has been stoked, or however you want to word it. The spark is the big word that was thrown throughout the film. So get rid of the
and
past.
It's all cyclical. Sparks.
Yeah, it's all cyclical. That was unnecessary. Do you guys feel like I do that Finn, who we all loved in the first movie, was just basically, we don't know what to do with him. We need to give him something to do.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, they could have done so much more with him. But what do you do with a guy who's a failed stormtrooper? He's a failed janitor. He's all these other things. Does he suddenly become a badass? Oh, wait. Yes, he does, because he knows how to fly a freaking speeder that he couldn't fly before.
That's right. He couldn't fly in the last movie, right?
That's right. He couldn't fly in the last movie.
Ooh, and he hasn't had time to train because he's been
unconscious. Right. Yeah. Unless it's like that Demolition Man training while you're sleeping kind of thing. I don't know how they did that.
Damn, now I have more. Now I have a conundrum.
And now, another listener review. This one coming in from Sean McGuire. It was okay. How about it answer at least a single question raised from A Force Awakens, and not spend 40 minutes on plot that was pointless, i.e. the hacker. Oh, and now Jedi is where eyeshadow all the time. Sean, I like the cut of your jib.
Okay, another one from listeners. Marcus Shelton. Pretty sure I know why some are up in arms. While a decent movie about how heroes will never live up to your expectations, grizzled heroes with too much pain and disappointment, very emotionally realistic, but that's the rub. People don't go to Star Wars to be challenged about their worship of heroes. They go to worship the heroes. It's an interesting point. Standalone Rian Johnson movie with these themes? Great. Wrong series to be experimental on. Folks go to hear I Have a Bad Feeling About This and see C-3PO be fussy and watch R2 save the day in the end. There's definitely some truth to that. At some point, the series has to evolve, though, right? Or is that the problem? Fans don't want it to evolve. They want it to reflect their childhood forever. I don't know. You ponder that thought. Great thoughts, Marcus. Sure. Well, how did you feel about the Finn and Rose? So basically, she is a star banger, where she's just in love with people that are celebrities. And so she loves this guy because he was a hero. Do you like this arc? Because I didn't need it at all.
I like the theory of the arc, and I like the feeling of the arc. I don't like how they executed the arc. So to introduce us to Rose and to have Finn in the movie, I think they could have found a better way to do that arc. Does that make sense?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Do you guys feel like it was earned, the whole I love you thing at the end?
I'm still not sure how I feel about that. Is she, you called her a star banger, which I've never even heard that term before, but
well, it's a lot more foul when you say it, but I'm not going to do that on a Star Wars podcast. So,
well, it's right next door to a Gold Digger. So,
well, she's known him for what? A couple days?
Five minutes. Yeah. One mission.
And then a lot of people were like, oh, you keep your hands off. That's Rey's man. I'm like, I don't even think that. I don't really consider Rey and Finn even being romantically involved. That was weird to me that people were upset like that. Like, Rey's going to be pissed or something. Like,
I was upset.
We're making this.
I was. What? I am totally shipping Finn and Rey. I want them to get together in the third movie. I want them to be a couple. I think Poe gives her a little like, hey, how you doing? And she needs to stop that because Finn's her man. And that's who she should end up with. So, yeah, I'm one of the shippers on that one.
I'm not really a shipper in it. Yeah, a relationshipper. Somebody who wants to be.
I want two characters to get together. Shipping.
Right. Shipper.
Oh, that's a new phrase for me, too. Okay. Go ahead.
Wow. Carry on. Hey, 2008 just came back and said, hey, Scott, how's it going? Back to that. So you've got a character who. Okay. And I don't understand, why did she save Finn? Because she loved him. I get the because she loved him. But he was trying to save countless others. So
yeah,
that really
bugged
me. That
drove me crazy.
I feel like we're picking this movie apart, but there's issues, man. I'm sorry. I know it's Star Wars and, you know, you should ignore everything, but it's Star Wars and they should get more right, I think.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Especially on this side of Justice League, they should get more right because it's Star Wars. It's when you have a movie that's completely lambasted for no good reason, and then this movie comes out and everyone's forgiving absolutely everything to do with it because it has Star Wars in the title and there's freaking porgs in it that everyone finds cute and adorable. I am frustrated by the idea that I know it's only because people are in their stupid freaking camps. I can't love this because it's not my camp. I can't love that because it's not my camp. Shut up. Just enjoy it. You're a nerd. Enjoy nerd things.
Weird rant. But hey, I get where you're coming from. Can we get back to what I was talking about, though?
I have feelings and I don't know how to control them right now.
I don't know, but it's Star Wars. We definitely want to sound like we like the movie. So calm down, John. Maybe get a room. All right. Maybe get some therapy again. Okay. I feel like we're constantly trying to get you to open up and unbottle those angers.
Can we talk about Hal some more?
No, we can't. We can't talk about your friend Hal. How did you get... seriously, I don't understand why she saved him when he was trying to save them. Scott, you saw it twice. Well, actually, you both saw it twice. Am I missing something, or was that a pointless save? Like, it really didn't do anything.
I'm with you that it was frustrating, and it's one of those moments, and there's multiple of them in this movie to me, where they just wanted to do something unexpected. They wanted to make you think, they wanted to misdirect your thoughts in a certain way, and then, oh, nope, that's not actually what's happening.
Right.
And that, like I said, they were trying to do that in this movie more than they were trying to give fans what they wanted, because they gave fans what they wanted in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they're like, we're not going to do that because everybody complained. Well, they didn't complain when it was released in the theater. They released, well, after the fact, after they were done loving the movie. And now we're talking like, oh, J.J. Abrams sucks and we shouldn't do this. But they went with this movie to just want to be completely different. And that is one of those moments where Finn looked like he was about to die. Oh, we can't let him die, so we're going to have him be saved, even though it doesn't make any sense.
I thought it would have been a great way for a character to go out, honestly.
Yes, me too. It's a hero moment. She robbed him of a hero moment.
Yeah, I think the sentiment is nice because it is a different sentiment, because the whole idea of we're going to win this war by saving what we love, not by destroying what we hate. And I get it, because what she's saying is we can't throw our lives away just to destroy something we hate. So I get that. I don't know. I'm conflicted on the whole thing, because I kind of like it and don't like it at the same time, I guess, for that same reason. I like the sentiment, though. I like the idea of people have to stop throwing their lives away just to kill something that they hate.
All I know is Rose needs to keep her celebrity grubbing hands off Ray's man. So that needs to stop. Let's put a kibosh on that. I did like Benicio del Toro, though. I thought that it was a great character, just wasted in an arc that didn't matter.
I really like how he pulled that stutter off. Worked really well.
Yeah, way better than John does.
You son of a bitch.
We got two more characters, main characters to get through. Big one, Leia. Now, this was a hard one to watch, because you know Carrie Fisher passed away after the movie was completed, or they were in post-production. And every scene you see her in, I feel like, you know, there's an additional emotional heft to it because of that. There's a weight to it. And I know some people have an issue with the scene where she is sucked out of the cockpit and seems to die in space, but then uses her force, which she said in previous movies that she felt it. You know, she has a connection to the force. She just doesn't use it like Luke does. And she uses that to save her own life. Some people felt like that was a cop out.
When she Peter panned her way back?
Yeah. Yes, when she Peter panned her way back. But honestly,
that drove me crazy.
That was written into the script and shot before she died. So it's not like, you know, it's anything that was added after the fact. I mean, they just didn't remove it, which, why did that drive you crazy?
Okay, I mean, I understand it's a sci-fi world and it's Star Wars and laser swords don't exist and everything. But space is a vacuum. You're not going to be out there for that amount of time frozen and then just come back in and just have a little bump on your head. But, I mean, it's just... It felt cheap.
I have such a problem, and you're not the only one saying this, so I know it's a lot of people that say that. I don't understand that argument. I cannot. It's a movie called Star Wars, and you've got the Force as this thing that can do all this crazy stuff. Why doesn't it work for that? I thought it was a really cool ad. Like, hey, we're putting some spin on the Jedi mythos. You know, we're going somewhere different, and I'm glad they didn't cut it, because I think that could have been a, you know, I feel like maybe some people felt it was cheaper because she actually did die. So that would have been a great way for her to go out. I don't know. I love the moment. I thought it was really cool, even if it did catch me completely off guard and it felt a little, okay, it's a stretch, but it's still Star Wars. You got guys with glowing sticks that are doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, well, but like I said earlier, I'm tired of everything falling back on, well, it's the Force. Oh, how did she do that? Oh, it's the Force. She can do that because of the Force. Yes, I understand that this is Star Wars and we live in that universe where that stuff happens. But if that's your only answer for explaining everything, that's frustrating to me.
All right. So let me help you get a better understanding of where this could have came from. Though they don't explain it in the movie whatsoever, they do hint at the fact that Leia is a lot stronger in the Force than she was at the end of Jedi. She still had a lot of strength in the Force, but now in her golden age, she's extremely stronger in the Force because she can sense Luke from a far distance, which, speaking of connections, of familial connections there, she can sense Luke. She sensed Han. She can sense her family. She kind of has, they hint a lot about what she's capable of doing just because of the Force. And you got to remember, Luke's first student would have been Leia for however long they would have been able to train her for. So after Return of the Jedi, he would have practice his teaching on her first. Yeah, I would say that it's completely possible that Luke and her trained together for a while to get her at least to have some sort of idea of a control over the Force to be to where she is now, and to have the ability of being like, okay, I got sucked out into a vacuum of space, but I can control the Force enough that I can send myself back flying. They didn't do that with everybody. They didn't do that with the poor girl that's in the bomber, and she didn't, you know, they just did it with Leia because, yeah, of the people there, she is the one who is closest to being a Jedi.
Yeah. See, it didn't bother me at all. I like that. But we both have said our piece on this. Now, how did you feel overall with the character of Leia herself outside of that we already talked about?
I really felt like she was much more confident, much more even more of a, in a leadership role in this one than she was in the past. I mean, she was there, but I feel like she had more character moments, more authority here than in the past. What my question is, and again, they just wanted to catch us off guard. We all kind of went into this movie expecting her character to die because the actress died. And she's very much alive by the end of this movie. So how's that going to work for episode 9? Are they going to use some scenes from that they filmed for 8 and use that at the beginning of 9? Or,
well, they've already said they're not going to CG her into it.
Well, I understand that, but they might have shots that they filmed when they filmed 8.
Maybe.
They could.
As I understood it, they're not going to have her in 9 at all. So
they're just going to write her off in the title crawl?
Yeah, they could. I mean, theoretically, they could.
Yeah, they really could.
They're mourning Princess Leia's death or something like that. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I also think if you show her death on screen, I don't know. I think that's probably worse for fans.
It is just worse.
It's hard to recover from that as a fan.
Right.
I liked who she was in this movie. I like how she's kind of like that crotchety old commander. And I liked the way she just carried herself. It's awesome seeing her have this grace about her, but also be crotchety. I mean, how many times do you see that grace and crotchetiness together?
I love that all three of the original characters just get old and crotchety. Like all three of them just like nobody gets old and just is happy.
It's a cynical world. You live in a place where the Empire has been gone for a long time, and apparently in 30 years, the First Order found all their old chips and decided to start their own little recreation of events. And you've got people that are cynical about it, like, hey, man, I thought we were done with this. Oh, crap. We're doing this all over again. I'd be cynical, too. I'd be grouchy. Tired of rebellions. My God. Speaking of rebellions, there is the top rebel that we're finally at. We've kind of talked about everybody else. I think we've hit just about every major arc and what we felt about it. How do you feel about Luke Skywalker's return?
I love seeing him on the screen, and I liked seeing what Mark Hamill did with that character. It felt, for some reason, it felt a lot more fun than any sort of portrayal of Luke Skywalker in the past. He was just he was just there to have a good time, and he had a good time with playing with the walrus giraffe's teats and getting himself some blue milk. And I liked seeing how he was tortured by the mistake that he made with Kylo.
Right.
Can you buy the mistake that he made?
I buy it. I totally buy the mistake that he made. When you finally see exactly how it happened after he gets his ass handed to him by Rey, only because he wasn't really trying. He was just like trying to defend himself the whole time. The whole thing where he sees the darkness in Kylo and he says, okay, well, in a moment of instinct, I'm going to go ahead and kill him. But then he catches himself and says that was just stupid. And it was stupid. I do buy that sort of mistake happening. Being an older man now, I can see myself making that sort of mistake as an instinct and then catching myself midway through murdering a child. I don't know, possibly.
Well, and back to my original point about Luke at the beginning of this, Luke's had to make difficult decisions like that throughout his life. You know, he's gone through that before, so he's used to that. And kind of had to make those tough decisions. And that was a tough decision that thought he was about to make. And then at the last minute realized that wasn't the right one. And it cost him.
Now, that moment didn't bug me. It bugs me the reaction to that moment. Because there's a lot of fans that are saying that's a total. Well, I mean, Scott, you said then your friend wrote an article, right? I mean, which is the same because of that, right? He's saying that that's a total misrepresentation of Luke Skywalker. They've totally upended that character. Right? Is that essentially what the article was?
Correct.
Character assassination, yeah.
That's I don't believe that at all. You've got a guy who, you got to remember, he's now, you know, 30 years later, he has life experience, he has a history, he's gone through a lot, and he also went through an empire that destroyed everyone he loves, like everyone he loves. And he was able to bring it down, but now he sees in this boy, which he's obviously observed in his family before him, he has this natural innate ability to covet the darkness, and he thinks that maybe I can save him, maybe I can't, and then he feels at that moment, I can't, and I need to stop this before it becomes something worse. Now, I don't know, I mean, killing your nephew is a huge deal, but he didn't actually do it. So when you say a character assassination, I don't know, man. I've been a parent. I thought about bouncing my kids off the pavement a couple times. I don't really know. This is not okay. You know, he still stopped himself. Now, if he swung that lightsaber like Kylo thought he did, that's mm-hmm. different. Then I would say, yes, you assassinated a character, because I don't believe Luke would ever go through with it. But just thinking it, I don't see why that's an issue.
Well, because he did more than think it. He had the lightsaber lit.
And he closed it.
No, he
shut it off.
He didn't quite shut it off, but by the time Kylo realized what was going on.
But he was going to, is my point.
Like he was going to,
he
yes.
He wasn't going through with it. Now, I get why Kylo Ren felt that way. The Luke Skywalker end of it, I also can get why he would get to that place where he felt the burgeoning
darkness.
I agree,
because, I mean, think about in the past. Like, if all would have taken, if someone had done that to Anakin when he was a kid, a lot of things wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? And those are decisions that didn't get made that way, and it could have stopped it. So he had an opportunity to stop. He could see what was happening with Kylo and knew that if he stopped it now, that could stop a lot of problems. And I don't see that as robbing him of his character.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that's a great thing to jump on, but I don't buy it at all.
Yeah.
The rest of Luke Skywalker I thought was great. Absolutely great. A little too long, a little clunky in the beginning, but I really felt like this is the Luke Skywalker that I would expect at this age after those moments. He feels like he failed again, or he feels like he failed and everyone in the galaxy. Why wouldn't you want to go in exile?
Right. The thing that I loved the most was when first we discover that Luke closed himself off to the Force, which means he's not using the Force by any means, and the Force isn't really touching him. He's essentially invisible to the Force, so, which is one of the reasons why he was able to hide for as long as he was. But when he essentially flips the switch on to reconnect with the Force, like the whole island kind of reacts to him. Everything around him starts shaking, and it's just awesome to see the immense power that Luke Skywalker had developed since the last time we saw him. He was like for sure a force of nature, and when you're able to project yourself the way he projected himself in the movie was just awesome. And I love the reveal that was just a projection too. I loved it when that happened.
Force of nature. I see what you did there.
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah. Even if you didn't mean it, still funny.
I'm taking full credit for it.
I'm actually annoyed with myself that I didn't pick up on that being an apparition, because it seems so obvious the second time, because he looks younger. Like, he doesn't have the gray in his beard as much. He looks kind of like he did when he was during the Kylo Ren scenes when Luke was still younger. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it now, it just seems so obvious. How did I not pick up on that? Because he's not nearly as grizzled as he was when he was on the island. So obviously he's not there.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting. I love that turn of events. I thought that was great. And I didn't. And for people that were saying, well, how could he kiss Leia and everything? I mean, they illustrate that in the movie. They really do. They illustrate with Rey and Kylo. They have that connection where he sees water on his hands after Rey gets splashed, because there's a physical representation or connection to the two mm-hmm. of them. So it can be done. And why did he die? Because he exhausted himself doing it. He said that it takes a great toll on you. So mm-hmm. he made that choice, that Jedi choice, to go out on his own terms or whatever. But that is what killed him. Now, why didn't he go there? Because he said he was never going to leave.
Yeah.
Also, that moment was beautiful, by the way.
Which
when
moment?
When he just disappeared. And looking into the two suns, that was like one of the early moments from A New Hope. It was him standing on that rock looking at the twin suns. Mm-hmm. And he sat and stared at the twin suns from his island and then just disappeared, and his clothes just kind of blew away in the wind. I thought that was a gorgeous scene.
Absolutely. I loved what they did with him. He was always one of my favorite characters of the series, and I loved how he went out on his own terms. I also loved the whole sleight of hand with the books, and when Yoda shows up and blows up the tree, and it's like, haha, you sucker. Like, why did you blow up the why did you want to blow up the tree to begin with? She already stole the books.
That's probably why Yoda didn't care. The books are still they're fine. I do want to point out, when Yoda shows up, the first thing I thought of was, he looks a lot like Bill Cosby wants pudding. Like, that's exactly what he looked like to me.
Wait, what?
go see it a third time, and when you see him, he looks like Bill Cosby. I got what you put. You know, he looks like, that was a horrible Cosby, by the way, but that's exactly what he looks like. I mean, you don't want that in your head when you see Yoda. I get it, but I couldn't help it. I'm just like, somebody give him a pudding pop. He's got that scrunched up face and everything. Yeah, That's all I saw. I started to get angry at Yoda. I'm like, damn it, Yoda, get off my screen. What are you doing? Go get some pudding or some Jell-O.
His look, by the way, kind of went in and out for me too. There's moments where you looked like it looked like you were looking at the puppet, and then there was times where it looked like you were really watching CG.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what they did, but it felt like they were going back to the puppet design.
Right.
Which is fine.
What I really was kind of hoping for, especially when I saw what Yoda looked like on the screen, I was like, why couldn't they just get Ewan McGregor in as Obi-Wan and do the same exact thing?
Oh, that would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been. That would have been better, honestly. I'm kind of sick of Yoda. Yeah, I said it.
Well, before we get off of Luke, do you guys feel like you wanted to see a little bit more action with Luke? Did you want to see him actually wield a lightsaber and use it?
No. I wanted to see him stand in front of the army and cut through the entire army by himself. That's what I wanted to see.
Nope. I did not.
No?
I loved the training message. I thought he trained Rey great. I mean, even though it was very, very minute, it was very small. I like that scene where he's teaching her and he sees the dark in her. But
can you feel the force?
I love it.
That was great.
But the end where he's there, I just thought they handled it beautifully. You know, the entire army is weighing down on him, and it seems like this is where Luke Skywalker is. You bitches can't laser bolt his ass into the abyss. You have to come down and face him. And I didn't need a bunch of Luke Skywalker hero moments because I had the only one that mattered, and that was a kick-ass moment. That was like that took the movie from where it was a little struggling, you know, that first hour. That saved that movie for me completely because that was one of the best moments in the entire series.
Did you notice in that scene, by the way, that Kylo Ren actually wields his lightsaber with the backhand? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Where instead of holding a lightsaber normally like in front of you, imagine flipping your hand upside down and holding that. He holds it behind him back like that, kind of like the character from The Force Unleashed that holds his lightsaber that way.
Oh, I'm talking about. Yeah. I do know what you're talking about. Okay.
There's just a brief second where he held his lightsaber that way. And I'm like, I kind of wanted to see him fight with it that way a little bit, but
maybe in the next one. Okay. And this one is from Ty Nelson.
Hey guys, this is Ty Nelson from the Facebook group. And I just wanted to drop you guys a line and tell you a little bit about what I thought about The Last Jedi. A lot of talk has already happened about the pacing and things like that. I just wanted to briefly touch about some of the things I loved about it, like the themes of like the complexity, the power and complexity of heroes, like how Finn kind of sees how Rose treats him when they meet for the first time. Luke kind of figuring out that he is a big hero throughout the galaxy, and even though he wants to hide, he needs to really pass on these lessons that the Jedi have to teach, even if they are flawed, and even if the Jedi do need to end, the world, the universe needs to know what the Jedi were and what they were about. One of the points of the advertising was to destroy the past, and we see some good stuff there. Rey learning, you know, to be a Jedi, but at the same time, not be these, like, devoid of humanity Jedi Knights that we saw in the prequels. She's going to be the perfect hybrid of what the new Jedi should be. And that's contrasted with Kylo. You know, what he does, he takes that step. He's not baby Vader anymore. He's not the next Darth Vader. By the end of this movie, he is fully Kylo Ren. He is his own villain, his own identity completely now. Also, there's the whole thing about when to fight or when not to fight. Like Poe, we see he wants to blow everything up. Sometimes you can't do that. He's going to be a better leader after all of this. Finn even starts to look at the bigger picture on that one when he's all excited about the casino, but then he kind of hears Rose's story about how she grew up and he sees things firsthand with the animals and the kids being abused. You know, there's just a lot of things like that that I really loved. And then when you think about these first two films have been about passing the torch, well, the torch is now passed. The next film is going to completely be the foundation of whatever's going to lie ahead for this new generation. I also loved the epic moments in this film, and there were some really epic moments. I loved how there were scenes like in the throne room, how they kind of play with your expectations from what we've seen from earlier Star Wars films, and then it kind of takes a swerve and throws you something a little different. It's a little unpredictable. And then finally, when you look at where the Resistance is at now and where all our heroes are at the end of this movie, like I'm really curious to see what the next film is going to bring for these characters. Where the heck is it possibly going to go? Because any expectations that I had for the next film, they went out the window by the end of The Last Jedi. I thought the film was great. I'd give it 850 out of 10 at least. You know, it's got its flaws, but...
Ty Nelson's voicemail cut off right there at the end, but I'm pretty sure what he was going to say is, Scott, Porgs are adorable. You love Porgs. You know you do. Yeah, and absolutely on your point to destroying the past, there's definitely an angle in this movie where they are almost saying, let's let the previous movies go and let's look to the future. I would say it's actually a big theme of the movie, which is probably some of the reason fans are upset to some degree. It's not one of the reasons I'm upset. I got other stuff. But there's definitely a fan reaction to that theme. Great thoughts, Ty. Thanks for calling in. We didn't really talk about Poe much, and I just want to say, you know, as we segue into exit, to ending this podcast, he's a great character. I think he almost got people killed like twice, and I still really liked him. but do you guys like Poe as a character?
Oh yeah, what's not to like? He's probably my favorite in terms of just sheer character. I just love his character. He's the Han Solo of this trilogy. You know what I mean?
No, he's not.
I'm not saying he is Han Solo. He is the new, overly confident, cocky. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's not Han Solo. I'm
absolutely
not saying that.
Agree. I think he is the Han Solo of this trilogy. How do you disagree, John?
He doesn't have the swagger that Han Solo has.
What?
He does not have the swagger.
I don't know, man. He's got some swagger. Not.
I'll tell you what, Han Solo could sit there and say, all right, look here, kid, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fly into here, we're going to do this, we're going to make this happen, and then we're going to fly out. And I'll be like, yeah, all right, let's do it. Poe Dameron comes up and says, all right, kid, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go in here, you're probably going to die because I suck at leading us into a good plan, but it's going to be okay because I will make it and tell everybody how awesome you were. And then I'm going to be like, no, this plan sucks. Not doing it. So we have 13 kind of, sort of, not really working speeders that we're going to jump into to go face a whole battalion of walkers and other things and starfighters. No, I'm going to take a pass on this. 13 against all. No, taking a pass. But it'll look pretty. Look, it will make awesome red streaks across the ground. It'll look so awesome. No, I'm not going. I want my mommy.
Yeah, he did make a lot of bad decisions in the movie, I will say. He got demoted. Well, he also got like 50 people killed, but that's cool. And we lost a bunch of bombers, but, you know, he's still, that's how
all
charismatic
he
is. Yeah, all of them. Every damn one we had. Nice job, dipshit. Holdo, though, that was a cool move. That was a bitchin' move where Laura Dern, like, ran that. I've never even considered it as an option, ramming a ship hyperspace through another ship. That was really cool.
And I love that moment visually and how they just... turn this, there was no audio. That was powerful, man. Like, because everybody in my second viewing just kind of gasped when that happened and went, oh, that was a very cool goosebump moment when they did that. Because that was, why have we never considered that before? Well, we kind of did in Force Awakens. Han went through one of those aliens and through hyperspace. Remember that?
Yeah, that was true. That's true.
So it has been done, but just not to that grand of a scale.
I kept yelling at my screen going, must go faster, must go faster, must go faster. That was pretty good. That's a good segue. Any other favorite moments? I think we've talked enough about our issue. Any favorite moments?
I know John didn't like it, but I absolutely loved the throne room scene when Snoke gets killed. Because as soon as I saw the lightsaber turn, I realized what was happening. And I thought it was awesome. And then it capped off with Kylo basically sending her the lightsaber. And she catches it as it floats over to him, and the two of them go back to back to face off all those guards, which I can't remember what those guards are called, but that whole thing was awesome. And they just did new things with the lightsaber battle that I hadn't seen done before, like where she has to drop her saber to take him out at the knees, and then
that was a good move too. Wow, that's a good move. That's good.
Yeah.
And then throwing him the lightsaber, and he just turns it on, and it goes through the one guy's eye, and just everything about that scene was just awesome. That was where I wanted to stand up and cheer the most for this movie.
I love that lightsaber battle. And I did like the majority of that throne room scene, with the exception of Snoke dying, which I thought was a waste of time. I love the shoot every cannon we have at that man scene. I love that. And he just steps out of the debris and like brushes everything off like it's no big deal, what Luke Skywalker does.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. What else did I love? I loved, oh God, there's so many things running through my head. I know they hate that ship. Meanwhile, Rey's flying through, blasting everyone. She's like, oh, this is fun. Just blasting at things in the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't feel my teeth. What did you shoot me with? I can't feel my teeth.
I thought Benicio del Toro was great. I really felt bummed that we didn't get a usable arc from him. My favorite moment of the entire movie, though, two. I have two favorite moments. One, the closing scene, I think, was just a beautiful shot and very inspirational. Instead of closing on one of our characters and doing it, you know, like Empire, where we're left off wondering what's going to happen next, we're actually shown hope. We're actually shown hope that this did spark hope for the rebellion, because now you have a boy. He feels the Force to a degree, and he's able to pick that broom up. And I think that was a beautiful shot. And
yeah, I agree. I didn't catch that the first time I saw it. I don't know how I missed him like picking up the broom.
It was very subtle.
It was subtle. I missed it. But and even the scene right before that, when he's telling the story about Luke Skywalker standing in, you know, what we just saw, it reminded me of Return of the Jedi when 3PO would tell the story to all the Ewoks. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he said he could never tell stories. So I felt like it was a little bit of a callback to that. And then, like you said, just ending it not on a character that we know and love, and just it just really sends that message that there's more to come.
Right.
And I loved it.
My other scene, which is my favorite scene of the whole movie, is just Luke's kiss on Leia's cheek. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
That's on her forehead, you mean?
On her forehead, sorry. Wherever he's making out with his sister again. It's just a beautiful moment, and I honestly, when it was all over, because I wasn't sure if they were going to kill Luke off or not, I thought there was a possibility, obviously, but when that happened, if they wouldn't have had that, that would have really ruined the movie for me to a degree.
Yeah, they needed to,
yeah,
even if it was brief, they needed to see each other.
Yes, because that was a mistake in the last movies. Luke never saying goodbye to Han, which I thought was important.
Right.
Well, that and totally Leia not hugging Chewie after Han died, but whatever.
By the way, it was pretty clear that he didn't know Han was dead, right?
Correct.
No, he didn't. He did not know, because he closed himself off to the Force.
Right. Because that was like a big thing at the end of Force Awakens. Everyone thought that the little rock was like a gravestone and he was mourning Han's death. But yeah, he closed himself off and didn't know. So
right.
Interesting. I have a love-hate relationship with the locale of the final scene with the red streaks and everything. I thought it looked visually gorgeous. I just feel like I don't understand what is the planet red and it's covered in salt, or is the red stuff salt?
The salt is coming out of the sky. It precipitates salt there.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what?
It rains salt.
That's dumb. But it looks okay. Cool. But it looks cool.
I'm just telling you what it looks like and what it seems like, because there's a layer of salt over red earth, red ground. And when the guy reaches out and he touches like the crystal stuff and puts it to his list, he's like, salt. Which I'm glad that somebody in a galaxy far, far away, number one, knows what the letter H is, and number two, they know they salt is a thing.
The letter H.
Yeah, I'm waiting for General Hux. That's with an H.
Oh.
Because we didn't see any recognizable English words anywhere in the whole Star Wars universe.
What does General Hux have to do with the English language? I don't understand what the hell you're talking about.
He's talking about the scene at the beginning when they're on the bridge and Poe is like pretending like he can't hear him through the intercom.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm waiting for General Hux. That's a Hux with an H. Okay. Which I love the scene. The scene was awesome. I'm just being nitpicky about the whole like letter H thing, because you don't ever see. I'm calling myself out for being nitpicky for that. You don't ever see English letters anywhere in the whole Star Wars universe. But he's like, yeah, it's Hux with a letter H. Yeah, no, it's okay. I'll hold.
That's a weird thing to think about, man. Like, really weird.
I feel like we just spent
like 2 minutes on the most pointless argument ever.
There's no argument to be had. I'm just making an observation.
Obviously, zero argument to be had. Like, zero.
I'm going to go back and watch the trilogy again and see if I see any English letters anywhere.
You will not see English letters anywhere in the trilogy. It's like a cuneiform they use.
Oh, I did like the battle with Finn and Phasma, even though I think that the only reason they had Finn's arc is so they could have that battle or something.
That's another whole wasted character, Phasma.
Yep,
she's not dead. She's not gone.
She'll be a robot or some sort of cyborg in the next movie.
Didn't the ship blow up?
No, only half the ship blew up.
I mean, it feels like it wouldn't really be hanging out there very long after that, right?
Escape pod. There are other.
Oh, of course.
Aircraft.
The Force is the answer. The it's always the Force.
The Force is the answer. It's being held together by the Force.
All right. Kylo is holding it together with his mind. And now we've got one from Manuel Perez.
Hey, this is Manuel Perez, a loyal listener to the Hollywood Outsider, and my short review of Star Wars The Last Jedi. I really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun with it. It was a great mix of humor and action set pieces. For the most part, the performances were pretty good, particularly Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, who did some of the best work of their careers. Most of the gripes for me were the story plot points. Many of them dragged on to the point where I just wanted them to go away. I just didn't need Finn's story, which I think you guys mentioned. They just went back and forth between certain plot points that the transitions just didn't all mesh for me. So if full price transition is $10, I give it $6. Thank you.
I hope you know, Manuel, that means that you didn't love it enough. Just kidding. Thank you so much for the thoughts. Thanks again for calling in. Let's get back to the show. And also, can I just say that noise makes me giddy inside? Spot on impression, I know. Yeah, I also love the moment at the end where Rey demonstrates her powers. Like, hey, look how far I've come, even though really Luke didn't teach me a whole bunch. But I figured this out. I'm here.
Moving rocks.
You know, it's amazing. Not a single thing you just said was correct.
He said that twice, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
One to her and one to Kylo.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny. I am very curious about the relationship and Kylo and Rey, and to find out if that is true with her parents, which we'll obviously know by the next movie in 2 years, and also where Kylo goes from here. He's just a big bad. Is there a chance to save him? Well, I guess we'll find out. What do you guys want to see in the next film? Quickly, Scott.
I want to see Rey and Kylo fighting together again. I really enjoyed that. I think if you're going to give us a surprise, here's what I don't want. I don't want a Darth Vader moment with Kylo where he turns right before he dies. Like, oh, you're right. Tell your sister you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm good now, and I'm going to die. I don't want that. If he's going to turn, I want him to turn early, like at the end of the first act, and then they go on together to work against whoever the enemy is at that point. Maybe Hux becomes the ultimate villain or something. But
like it.
Yeah, I want more of them together.
Nope.
Okay. Well, what do you want, Negative Nelly?
It's not Negative Nelly. I don't want Kylo and Ren anywhere near each other on good terms. I want them at odds the entire time. I want some logic involved. I want Poe to be an actual good leader as opposed to just constantly getting people killed. I just want them to tell me their story also. I don't want to put too much of my own spin on what I want to see, because I already had my heart broken when they said that nothing from the books or anything else you've read or spent any of this time into matter or have any influence in the movies. And so I just want them to tell me the story they want to tell me then.
All right. I want some – at this point, I do not want Kylo redeemed in any way. You've already – not directly, but indirectly killed two main characters from the original franchise. You did kill your dad, and you basically caused Luke to die. So there's no redemption for him in my eyes. I don't really care what Leia thinks.
Was willing to let his mother die and let his troop, when he took control of his force of the First Order, he was willing to let them kill his mother. I'm just saying that.
You just got done, not on this podcast, but on another podcast we recorded earlier, saying that your murder is redeemable as long as they're not diddling kids.
No. I said Harrison Ford could murder someone, and I'm cool with it. Is Adam Driver Harrison Ford? I don't think so, son. So he cannot get away with it. I am not okay with Kylo Ren as a character. I think he's obviously a villain. There's no redemption for him because he's not Harrison Ford. So I don't want him to even be attempted to be redeemed. Rey can just give it up. Go hang out with your boyfriend, Finn, as it should be. Kill Rose, because I don't like her character. I think she's kind of pointless. And go find that little kid with the broom, magic. Put the rebellion back together and go kick their ass. That's what I want. And I do agree that I want Poe to be a better leader and Finn to stop running, you know.
It's like his face. It's like his first answer to everything. Time to run, right?
Yep. So, yeah, I don't want that. That's what I don't want. Okay, well, I think that does it, guys. Now, ultimately, what's your final score? $10 is the full price of admission. You don't need to give a book report. Just what's your score? Scott?
$7.
John?
The first time I saw it, 550. The second time I saw it, 650.
If you took me in just the first hour, it'd be $3. But thankfully, that end is glorious, so I give it $7. Woohoo! Better than Rogue One. I did like it better than Rogue One.
So did I.
That's sacrilege, Scott. You know, we're not allowed to say that because apparently Rogue One was the best Star Wars movie ever. Because well,
people said that. People say that because it wasn't. It wasn't a rehash of another Star Wars movie. People are so bitter about The Force Awakens being the same story that they wanted something different, and they got that in Rogue One, so they're saying Rogue One's better.
I don't know if darker. Rogue One's actually better than Force Awakens. I do like Rogue One, and I like Force Awakens. I don't... They both scratch different itches. I mean, you can like them both.
I like them all.
I do like them all.
But I only love the original trilogy.
Right. As you should.
Exactly. All right. Well, I would love to hum the song out. Dun, 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 dun.
Nothing but Star Wars. Exactly. Those crazy Star Wars. They're always Star Warring.
All right. As we close out, and until the next time we see these characters in 2 years, hopefully we'll find Luke Jedi haunting Kylo Ren into madness. We hope everybody remembers why this series has endured for so long for so many. Even when we have our issues, and we have our issues, we still love Star Wars. There are not many film series in history that can bring together so many different kinds of fans. Old, young, my age, everybody. So many fans. Sharing so many stories and experiences, family traditions all tied into the Skywalker saga. It's honestly truly amazing when you think about it. So whether you love the film, loathe the film, maybe you found it somewhere in the middle, remember what George Lucas had in mind for everybody 4 decades ago this very year. He didn't want catfights and trolling on the internet like we've seen since this film came out. No, Uncle George, as I like to call him, he dreamt of creating a world in a galaxy far, far away, an inspirational land of heroes, where good triumphs over evil, ultimately leaving us fans with the most important feeling mankind can ever have. Hope. Take care, everybody, and may the Force be with you. Always.